Kempire is brought to you by
Philly. The Kempire After Dark live experience is coming to you first on July 10th. Yeah, that's the same day that Real Housewives of Orange County is premiering, but our show will be better. I guarantee it. It's a night of hot topics, comedy, and so much more with special guest Alexander Rogers. We spilling tea as well. And don't forget, if you are in Atlanta, I'll be there on August 5th. Then we'll be in D.C. on August 22nd. Then back here in New York City on September 12th. All shows have meet and greets available, so get those if you don't already, if you want a picture with me or kiki with me. And don't forget, the New York City show has a live stream option exclusively. And what I say in Washington, D.C., Philly, or Atlanta will not be the same thing that I mentioned in New York City. And don't forget, you have access to that live stream link for at least a week. Be sure to check out the description for more details on how you can be a part of the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live summer tour.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
Oh, it's a doubleheader when it comes to our Sean Diddy Combs trial updates today. We have to talk about day 23. And Kanye West showed up at the court for about 40 minutes to show support for his friend. This comes after an unnamed popular rapper that had his own freak off that made Diddy upset that Jane was even in attendance. Not only that, you know we've been talking about juror number 6 and the prosecution trying to have this particular black juror kicked off of this case. Well, it looks like the prosecution got their way. Let's talk about day 23 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, exclusively covered here on the Kempire channel. So it was earlier today that we dropped our day 22 recap. For those that were looking for it yesterday, we were behind. I went to go see Purpose on Broadway. I'm glad I did that. That was a much needed break. But then anytime I take a break, it feels like Friday the 13th was just full of all kinds of stuff. So if you don't realize, here on the channel, we talk about a variety of things in pop culture, including some of your Real Housewives and reality TV conversation. So I had actually two videos, one about Portia Williams and another one about Monique Samuels and some updates when it comes to Bravo and The Traitors. Those are two separate videos that we uploaded earlier today. And don't forget, you can get your Diddy updates and other updates, exclusive content on the Kempire podcast. Subscribe today to that. And everything Kempire will be available into the description. Don't forget, we're also raising money for Pride Month. Happy Pride. We're raising $3,000 for the center here with all the changes happening within our administration. You know that a lot of these organizations are getting cutbacks and they need your support. Thank you to already so many of you that have donated over $2,000 to our fundraiser. There's only 17 more days left for us to raise $3,000. You already know my real goal is $5,000. So I really would love to hit our goal this week. That way, these next couple of weeks, we can focus on getting to $5,000. Thank you already to everyone that has donated. Reminder, your donation, 100% of your donation goes to the organization thanks to YouTube Giving. Thank you to everyone that's donated. And let's get into this. Okay, where do we begin? Because there's just so much to unpack. Today, I'm not sure if I'm going to read any of the transcripts from our friends over at Inner City Press. I might, just because I saw some things that I might want to highlight in regards to Kanye West attending today in all white. I thought it was interesting. But Kanye has been defending Diddy on social media for the last few months. So am I completely surprised? No, but he is the first celebrity to really be outspoken when it comes to Diddy. Everyone that Diddy has partied with and has been close friends with have said nothing about this case. And it's probably for the best, if we're being honest, because at the end of the day, as I've said before, and I'll say it again, we're not debating whether or not that Diddy had a drug problem. We're not debating whether or not that Diddy was abusive to his girlfriends. We're not debating whether or not that Diddy had some interesting sexual interests. We're not debating any of that. I think that's part of the reason why no one wants to come out and be like, yeah, free Diddy, because you're saying, especially women that he's been friends with, you're saying you're supporting a man that's been physically abusive to women. That's probably part of the reason. And that's why I will always give Kanye the side eye, because I've questioned some of his behavior when it comes to women in his lives. But that's a whole other conversation. Shout out to our friends over at NBC News because they're giving us an update of about what happened yesterday and the last 6 days of testimony from Jane, an ex-girlfriend of Sean Diddy Combs. Reminder, live chat, we are not speculating. That means we're not naming. We're not saying, well, it could possibly be this person. We're not talking about anything that might be associated with giving a clue to who this person is. I know at this particular point, there have been a lot of platforms that have. We are not one of them. So let's not even partake. Thank you. Thank you. NBC says this. They says Combs' former girlfriend, identified in court by the pseudonym Jane, finished her sixth and final day of testimony yesterday. During her time on the stand yesterday, she faced a series of questions about her relationship with Combs, including how it played out after he became the subject of a headline-grabbing criminal investigation in 2024. Jane told jurors that she saw positive changes in Combs after Cassie Ventura, his former partner, filed her November 2023 civil lawsuit alleging physical and sexual abuse. Responding to questions from defense lawyer Tenny Garagos, Jane agreed that Combs became more apologetic and attentive, less egotistical and cold. And I told you in my previous coverage of that, I said, well, yeah, but now he's been exposed. How long would it had last? Probably not that long. I think especially if he had gotten away with this behavior after that pop culture news, people move on very quickly. I think he is just prone to this type of behavior. I don't believe that he really ever got any help for his drug addiction or what he did to Cassie and other women, including Jane. They said that Jane came across as firm and composed on her sixth day of testimony, only fighting back tears near the end of the day. I can't even, again, no matter how you feel about Jane or how you feel about women that are in Jane's position when it comes to the women that we see around these rappers, Instagram models and things like that. Back in the day, we used to call them the video vixens. You remember Corinne Steffen's book? No matter how you feel about it, because people have these feelings about these particular women. At the end of the day, can we just remember that these are still women, that these are still people, human beings that deserve respect, even if they don't demand that respect for themselves? Can we demand that for them? Because I feel like so many people are villainizing these women that do not have the same influence and power or money that Diddy had at the time. And probably still, when you think about it, still somewhat has. But it's okay. People will continue to villainize, specifically women of color and Black women. Even our own will continue to do that, unfortunately. So they say that Jane came across as firm and composed on her sixth day of testimony, only fighting back tears near the end of the day. Combs, clad in what appeared to be the same orange. They said it again. Combs, clad in what appeared to be the same orange sweater and khaki pants he wore the day before, hugged members of his defense team when he walked into the courtroom yesterday morning during an afternoon break. Combs grabbed tissues and dabbed an eye before leaving the room. We still don't know if it was allergies or if he was emotional. Or it could have just been him trying to play us for us to talk about it. It could have been that. Based on what we've seen in the testimony from a variety of different people, from personal assistants to ex-girlfriends, this guy's an emotional manipulator. He's also a manipulator of his brand. He's been manipulating the world for a very long time, even though a lot of us would be like, he didn't manipulate us. We knew he was trash for a long time. We just didn't realize he was breaking the law. So what is to be expected for today? Special Agent Andre Lamont, Jonathan Perez, and Anana Sankar are expected to be called to the witness stand next week. Reminder, the prosecution is expected to rest their case as early as next week's Wednesday or possibly the latest Friday. And again, no word on whether or not KK, Christina Curran, Diddy's former chief of staff, will be testifying. Mind you, she's been named in multiple civil lawsuits. She's been named in this criminal case multiple times. I need to ask Kirsten why exactly we do not see Christina Curran testify. She knows this for me, for the prosecution, would be a clear-cut case for them after she testifies. Because they could literally force her to testify. And it's like, well, we got you on this and this. You need to testify and tell the truth. Because if you don't tell the truth on the stand, you will face perjury charges. But we shall see. So yesterday, Jane testified that she felt jealous of other women in Combs' life. And I see a lot of people also trying to villainize Jane for feeling jealous. And I always try to bring this back to how we would feel. And this might be just something that I do. I for the most part, try to at least put myself in other people's place. I'm not perfect. So there will be times where I'm like, well, maybe you should put yourself in that person's particular place. And even with Diddy, sometimes I try to put myself in his place. Not often, but I try. Yesterday, Jane testified that she felt jealous of other women in Combs' life. She thought that it was unfair that they appeared to get more of their relationship with him than she did, despite her folding to the pressure of, quote, hotel nights. Jane reiterated how much Combs pushed for her for the hotel nights, even after telling him she didn't want to do it. I wonder if he changed it from hotel nights from freak offs, because freak offs sounded so 90s. I'm like, because remember, we were calling it freak offs for a very long time. And then with her testimony, because she dated him up until he was arrested, she was like, they were called hotel nights and movie nights where they would watch their escapades on their television. She reiterated how much Combs pushed for her for the hotel nights, even after telling him she didn't want to do it. Jane said, all the time. The constant need to have sex for Combs' entertainment made Jane sore, tired, exhausted, and overwhelmed, she testified. While she witnessed positive changes in Combs after Cassie's lawsuit in November of 2023, Jane said that she and Combs physically fought at a residence in Los Angeles in 2024. In that incident, she said that she pushed Combs' head into a marble countertop when she was angry that he went on a family trip to Turks and Caicos with another woman. She claimed Combs later assaulted her in the hallway. And this was the first instance of actual physical violence between these two. So they said court was in session on day 23 of the Combs trial. Combs is in court today wearing light pants and a brown long-sleeve sweater. U.S. District Judge Aaron Subramanian said that he wants to settle the government's objections to one of the jurors, though there doesn't appear to be enough evidence yet to remove the panelists. But I can already tell you they have removed it. This happened at the end of the day. But we talked about why the prosecution might want to get rid of them, because the government earlier this week said the panelists should be removed over a lack of candor. We're now finding out what they meant by that. My preference would be to hear from the juror, and it's likely we will hear a perfect, innocent explanation, the judge said, adding that he wants to quickly resolve this issue and put it to bed. He's very orderly, the judge. He's very organized. He's trying to keep this case on track. And the lack of candor, I told you, it could be he wasn't very clear on some of the things that he was asked during jury selection, or it could be he lied about being connected to Diddy in some shape or form, or knowing Diddy, or worked with Diddy, or worked with someone close to Diddy. It could be that, but it's not that. It's sort of like lying how Mayor Adams... I don't want to say he lied, but talking about he lives in New York, but he didn't live in New York. Okay. So it's something like that. But we'll get to that in a second. The defense told the court that it's likely to object to questions about guns found during raids during Combs's arrest. Combs's attorney, Mark Agnifilo, called firearms a divisive issue that he'd rather not have on the minds of the jurors. I'm not seeing how GUNs in a security room are relevant to any of the charges in this case. Are we talking about the GUNs that had the serial numbers scratched off? Are we talking about those pow-pow-pows? Just asking. The government called Homeland Security Investigation Special Agent Andre Lamont to the witness stand, presumably to discuss details of Combs' arrest last year. Combs wore a light-colored pants and a brown-sleeve, long-sleeve sweater to court this morning. I don't know why they're reiterating that, but okay. Federal agents found 900... Damn. Okay, so this is where the whole 1,000 bottles of baby oil came from. So federal agents found 900 bottles of Astroglide and 200 bottles of baby oil when they raided the defendant's home in Los Angeles last year. So they found that in just that home. The lubricants were frequently used during hotel nights and freak-offs when Combs directed women to have sex with other men as he watched. Witnesses have testified at this trial. In a nightstand, agents also found six envelopes marked with K on them. all marked on them all, Lamont said. These envelopes tested positive for ketamine, attorneys stipulated. He had a real, that's the biggest thing for a lot of us. And I don't know if people suspected. I'm sure people in the industry probably had known that he had such a big drug problem. I don't think the world, though, knew how bad this drug problem was. Combs kept an arsenal of GUNs and ammunition designed to pierce armor, according to the federal agent who led the raid on his L.A. home. Why would you need pow-pow-pows like that? And then they list all the different types of GUNs, the long GUNs, AR-style weapons, Smith & Wesson, more pistols were among the firearms discovered at Combs's Mapleton Drive home, Lamont testified. Agents also found 59 rounds of green tip ammunition, which is manufactured to penetrate body armor. Why do you need that? Just asking, why would you need that? So now I can see why exactly Diddy's defense team would not want that information provided to the jury, because some are probably going to ask the question that I'm asking. Why would you need ammunition that will penetrate armor? Maureen Comey, one of the prosecutors, complained to the judge that Combs was nodding emphatically as his ex-girlfriend Jane and the Homeland Security agent testified. See, this has been a problem, and the judge has warned Diddy just last week about his facial expressions to the jury and communicating with the jury. He threatened to have him kicked out of court. But now the prosecution had probably been keeping an eye on him during this time. They're, in a quote, they're saying, nodding emphatically as his ex-girlfriend Jane and the Homeland Security agent testified. Brian Steele, one of Combs' lawyers, pushed back on that characterization, saying his client has been nothing but professional. Here's the thing, though. I'm wondering if the judge has been told about Stephanie Sue's video where she says that Diddy communicated with her saying, I know you. And I don't know the rules about a defendant communicating with the media, but judge, just in case. Submarmanian, who scolded Combs' team last week after the rapper apparently made facial expressions at jurors, told Comey it would be impossible to police everyone in the courtroom, but made clear we will keep an eye out for any inappropriate behavior. So this is where I believe that the judge is being fair, because I think some people believe that the judge is favoring the prosecution. But no, I do feel like the judge in this case is trying to be as fair as possible. So here's the thing. So early this morning, you may have seen the reports that Kanye, a.k.a. Ye, has showed up to court. There's footage of him outside the court, and he's showing up in this sort of like all white outfit. And he stomps into the court, not really saying much of anything to anyone. At one particular point, he's greeted by King Combs, a.k.a. Christian Combs. Ye came to the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. Bystanders shouted, thanks for the support, Kanye, as the rapper formerly known as Kanye West entered the building. Ye confirmed to a reporter he was there to support Combs. And he was only there for like 40 minutes. He came for a photo op. It's the biggest case that's happening right now. Kanye likes attention, I'm not going to lie. Do I believe that he supports Diddy? I do, probably because they're very similar in a lot of ways. But at the same time, Ye loves the circus. I did see a comment where someone said, Ye's the type of personality to try to take the witness stand and he's not even being called. And I said, well, sounds about right. But they continued. They said the agent said that he never. Here's the thing, we would have to rely on people that were in court today. I would have loved to see what Kanye's body language and facial expressions were. I'm glad, because word on the street that he tried to attempt to go yesterday, and I'm glad that he didn't make it into the court, because we don't know his connection to Jane, and I just wouldn't want to see another big celebrity in the court that might know Jane and that might make facial expressions that might trigger or intimidate her. Just my thought. And maybe that's why he only spent 40 minutes. He didn't realize Jane was not going to be on the stand today. Maybe. Who knows? And here's the thing, too. Because Diddy and Ye have a relationship, I wouldn't be shocked that Diddy wasn't surprised that Ye was going to be there today. I'm sure his legal team probably told him. I'm sure they've been in communication. That's the thing about Hollyweird. They like all of this is performative because they're always playing in the faces of the public as opposed to what they should be playing. And this is the thing. How is KK not going to testify? We've had personal assistant after personal assistant testify. Jonathan Perez, which I believe he's been named a few times during testimonies. Jonathan Perez, a former personal assistant to Combs, took the witness stand for prosecutors. The 35-year-old native of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, wore a brown suit, black shirt, and black tie. Perez worked for Combs between December of 2021 and this past September. So he's another person that has worked for Diddy up until he was arrested. The witness said he, at different times, addressed Combs as Diddy, P. Diddy, or Mr. C. Love. Oh, God. They revisit the fact that Ye left the court. They said Ye walked out of the front doors of the federal courthouse, got into a car, and was driven away. He spent about 40 minutes in the courthouse, but never made it into the Judge Sumerian's courtroom to show support for the defendant. So he never even made it into the courtroom? So where was he? He was just inside the house? Were they not allowing him in? They said he spent about 40 minutes in the courthouse, but never made it into the Judge Subramanian's courtroom to show support for the defendant, Combs. What in the, again, performative? Why didn't he make it in? I don't see why they wouldn't let him in. Did he? I don't understand. Combs' staff would typically get between 2 and 24 hours to prepare for a king night. An evening, their boss would spend in a hotel with a woman. So they would typically get between 2 and 24 hours to prep for this. So it would require food, a change of clothes, condoms, lubricants, red lights were among the items commonly packed, Perez said. Perez recounted how he found an S tape showing Jane engaged with another man as Combs watched in the background on a company iPad. The employee said that he immediately brought the issue to Combs and his chief of staff, Christina Curram. The judge declared a recess, asked the jurors to return to court around 1:30. We'll move on. I will remind you guys, if you haven't already, one of the free ways that you can support our channel is by liking the video. Of course, we appreciate all the super chats. We appreciate the Venmos, the Cash Apps, anything that you guys can do for us to continue to do what we do as independent content creators. And please understand, when we cover topics like the Diddy trial, sometimes they limit these videos, meaning that we're not making much of a profit because of the commentary and the topics that we're covering. So thank you to those that support. And by liking the video, you help push these videos out to new people that are discovering our channel. If you're new here, be sure to let us know if you're a new subscriber. Welcome to the community. We do appreciate you guys. And I also appreciate all the love and support that you guys have been doing and giving me so I can continue to do this on a daily basis, because this is a lot. This is a lot to talk about, a lot to cover on a daily basis. That's why I mix it up and we did a few other Bravo-related stories earlier today. So the defendant appeared to be particularly engaged with his attorneys today. Diddy, they're talking about. Combs seemed to be paying very close attention to the testimony of the federal agent describing the raid in his home in Los Angeles. Combs even handed his attorney a note while the lawyer was cross-examining the agent. That's interesting. Of all the, what could you be mentioning? This is why I said in the last video, I feel like Diddy is very active in regards to being a lawyer when he's not a lawyer in this case. But it is his freedom. This is his right to do that. But I don't know, based on how this case is going or what he might be saying that he wants his lawyers to do, if it's the best legal strategy. And some might say a narcissistic personality might think that he knows best, even though you never went to law school or tried a case before. Combs could be fighting some congestion, perhaps an allergy, today as he grabbed tissues and forcefully blew his nose at one point in the morning. Probably. So that Ye caught a few minutes of Perez's testimony in an overflow room. So maybe that was the problem. He couldn't get into the actual courtroom because of maybe the time that he showed up. So Ye caught a few minutes of Perez's testimony in an overflow room on the 23rd floor. He and Combs' son, Christian, were close to the monitor, and Ye removed his glasses, a local reporter said, to follow along with Perez describing his job with Combs. Ye left without speaking to anyone else gathered in the room. So it'd be interesting. I'm sure there are a few reporters reporting on Ye being in the courtroom. I think this was performative. Yes, he could be coming there to support. He has been supporting Diddy on social media. He even spoke to Diddy while Diddy was in jail, and he released that audio. This was weeks ago. So he has been supporting. But knowing Kanye, he's very performative in that way. Because at the end of the day, if you really wanted to be in that courtroom, you would have coordinated a way to be in that courtroom, very much like how the family is. The defendant kept cash, cocaine, ketamine, Adderall, Xanax, and Molly in a Gucci pouch bag, Perez said. That bag was a must-have for Combs when he traveled for King Nights, the witness said. Buying drugs for Combs was an element of the job, according to Perez. Did Perez admit that? Did he get an immunity deal? Usually that comes out. I didn't read the transcript, so I'm not sure. Because you're admitting to illegal behavior here. The witness said that he'd get cash from Combs' top security guard, Fahim Mohammed, in order to score cocaine, Xanax, or Molly. He testified that Mohammed would submit receipts for the money he used to buy these drugs. Submit receipts to who? See, this is why where it's important. Submit receipts to who? Because we're talking about illegal activity. Remember, the job of the prosecution is to talk about the enterprise that he built, utilizing his businesses as a front for these illegal behaviors. So he's submitting receipts like a reimbursement to your employer? I'm highlighting these things. We're going to have Kirsten come back here on the channel, because we have to unpack these last couple of weeks. Okay. He admits to that. So under cross-examination, the witness said that he never got the feeling that Jane was unhappy or was unwilling participant in Combs' King Night evenings. Jane even asked him for advice on fashion so that she could look her best for Combs, the witness said. Defense lawyer Brian Steele also got Perez to agree with him that these King Nights were on Combs' personal, non-work time. Okay, defense, I see what you're doing here. And this goes back to whether or not Jane was a strong witness for them. I don't know. In comparison to Cassie, I felt like was a stronger witness. But maybe they went a little bit lighter on Cassie because she was 8.5 months pregnant. I'm not sure. Defense lawyer Brian Steele. And also, when you think about it, and we talked about this before, they specifically brought up the fact that the difference between Cassie and Jane was the fact that how old were you when you got with Diddy? Cassie was 19, 20. Jane responded that she was 35 at the time. And we talked about this. We talked about how the defense was trying to emphasize that. The defense lawyer, Brian Steele, also got Perez to agree with him that the King Nights were on Combs' personal, non-work time. That's important to distinguish. The kind of distinction could be key for jurors as they weigh whether Combs uses resources to run a criminal enterprise. I mean, some might say they've already proven that. Some might say, no, they have not proven that. I've seen a few moments, and we've stopped and mentioned those moments, that it feels like this has been somewhat proven. Maybe? Maybe not. The witness said that he left Combs' company but harbors absolutely no ill will toward his former boss. I wouldn't see that. He literally was working with him until Diddy was arrested. Perez said that he wanted to avoid any legal entanglement and thought working for Combs could put him into that type of situation. The last time he spoke with Combs was the day that the music mogul was arrested last year, he testified. I feel great about him the same way I did when I was leaving my employment. So technically, I guess he left. Like, when did you leave? You said the last time that you were working for Diddy the last time you spoke to Diddy was when he was arrested. I feel like you left when he got arrested, which is fine. I mean, yeah. But you weren't thinking about the entanglement of what you were doing for him before this. I think a lot of people left after the feds came and arrested him. Jane was not just willing to participate in King Nights, but also helped coordinate them, the witness said. She enjoyed wearing Tom Ford shorts and underwear during these getaways and made sure to visit a salon to make sure her hair was in the best shape, Perez said during cross-examination by the defense. Well, remember, these were things that she felt that she was doing for her partner. These were also things that, based off the text messages, that he wanted to see from her. When you think that this is pleasing your partner, when you think that you are in a relationship, when you think that you're the most important person to him, when you think that this, he's only doing these things with you, I could see where, based off of everyone's external view of the situation, you'd be like, she seemed to be okay with this. She didn't seem unhappy with it. Just saying. But this is critical testimony from the defense side. And I have to say, I'm interested to see what the prosecution and why the prosecution wanted this as a witness. Again, he's confirming the drugs and the intermingling of the enterprise, his actual enterprise, with this criminal enterprise. That might be what it is. But I feel like this is also helping the defense to prove this stuff didn't happen during his work hours. She was seemingly happy. She wanted to coordinate these things for him. The judge thanked the jurors for their time during this long week and sent them home. It was a long week, Judge. Thank you. He says, thank you for your attention. It was a long week and we appreciate it, he said. Do not speak about the case with anyone. I'm glad to see that wasn't the issue with this juror that they wanted removed. So they confirmed that the juror was thrown off the panel. So a juror, I'm assuming it's juror six, that was dismissed from this case. But remember, they have alternates for situations like this. So this was an update from our friends over at NBC News. They said a juror could be dismissed from the panel after he allegedly gave conflicting answers about where he lives. The man had given different answers to questions about where he primarily lives in either New York or across the Hudson River in New Jersey with his girlfriend. I wonder why he gave conflicting answers. Earlier in the day, Judge Subramanian had said that he was leaning against dismissing the juror, saying that there was likely an innocent explanation for any conflicting answers. But by the end of the court day, the judge said that there were serious questions about his candor and ability to follow instructions. So there were some other things. There were probably some other things about this particular individual. But why is he lying about where he lives? That's interesting. But there might be a reason. There might be a reason why. But here's the thing. He's been a part of this case already. So once he's dismissed, he could start talking about this case. He could start doing interviews with this guy. Lord. Ugh. I don't know. That's another question I'll have to ask Kirsten. Can he talk about it now, or he'll have to wait until the case is done? By the end of the court day, Subramanian said that there were, quote, serious questions about his candor and ability to follow instructions. I wonder, when they say instructions, do they mean not talking about this case outside the courtroom, not watching the news, that kind of thing? And I wonder if other jurors have told on him. I would. Judge Subramanian cleared the courtroom while he and the lawyers debate the fate of a juror who might be removed from the panel. We have a sensitive matter in the courtroom, the judge said, in ordering all spectators to leave. I wanted to follow up and just confirm whether or not this juror was removed. So the judge in the Sean Diddy Combs S Crimes trial asked to dismiss a juror 2 days after prosecutors raised questions and issues about the man's alleged lack of candor with the court. We've talked about this in the previous video, explaining legally what that means. That was on day 21. We talked about that for those that might be looking for it. U.S. District Judge Aaron Subramanian pushed for Juror 6 to be removed from the 12-person jury on Friday, June 13th. Six alternates have been on the sidelines in the trial, which is wrapping its sixth week in Manhattan federal court. Technically five, because the first week was jury selection. Addressing the court, the judge said removal of the juror is required and added the juror will be dismissed. The reason was several inconsistencies in the man's answers regarding where he lives. The judge continued, the juror is unable to answer simple questions. There are serious questions about the juror's candor and ability to follow instructions. Though it seems like a trivial matter, it goes to a juror's basic criteria to serve, he said. Because of the changing answers and inconsistency, Subramanian said that it brings up questions about whether the juror was truthful in responding to other questions more directly related to the case. And the judge's efforts here is to make sure that we're able to have a fair trial. I wouldn't be shocked, though, that Diddy's team might try and use this later for appeal. Defense attorney Xavier Donaldson objected to the juror's dismissal. Okay. So according to the judge, the juror six offhandedly told a member of the jury department that he had recently moved in with his girlfriend in New Jersey, where he had been staying most of the time. When asked where he lived during jury selection in early May, he said that he was living in the Bronx with his fiance and baby daughter, Subramanian said. So with the girlfriend, wait a minute. Oh, not you being a two-timer juror number six. In yet another interview, juror number six allegedly said that he stayed 4 to 5 nights each week in an apartment in New York where he worked and completed jury responsibilities. He'd also mentioned living with his aunt in New York. Sir! OMG! Before the jury entered the courtroom June 11th, prosecutors reportedly asked the judge to oust one of them, known as juror number six, according to outlets including NBC News and CNN. Per NBC News and the Washington Post, Assistant U.S. Attorney Maureen Comey told the judge she saw what appeared to be a lack of candor with the court from juror number six that raises serious issues. Alexandra Shapiro, Combs' team, reportedly pushed back against the request, calling it a thinly veiled effort to dismiss a black juror, the Post and ABC News reported. Combs was arrested in September and charged with sex trafficking, racketeering, and transportation to engage in, you know what, he has pled not guilty. So at this particular point, the judge has agreed with the prosecution and they've dismissed the juror. I completely understand. It makes complete sense. I can see why the defense would want to keep a black juror on here because they feel like a black juror is going to probably understand the world that Diddy comes from, meaning before fame and things like that, and probably be a little bit more empathetic and open to his side of things, maybe. Because the defense is leaning into, like, they're only doing this to a successful black man, especially if you're black. You know who Sean Diddy Combs is. You know how his rise to fame. So you might be a little bit more empathetic to it, maybe. But I can understand where the judge is coming from, saying, if you're lying about this and you're inconsistent about this, what else have you been inconsistent about? It's just not worth tainting this trial over this juror when you have alternates, six other alternates that have been listening to this. So there you have it. Juror number six has been dismissed. Guys, as always, don't forget to let me know your thoughts and opinions on day 23 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Also, don't forget the Kempire After Dark live show is coming to Philadelphia on July 10th. Then we'll be in Atlanta on August 5th. Then I'll be in DC on August 22nd. Then back here in New York City on September 12th. Talking hot topics, Real Housewives, reality TV, or whatever's happening in the moment during that time. And you never know what's going to happen at one of these shows, because in LA we had some freak off party stories being told. Okay, we didn't have our own freak off.
Hell no,
that didn't sound right. But anyway, go get your tickets today. Meet and greets will be available, and there's a live stream exclusively available for the New York City show. Get your tickets today. More information will be available in the description. And don't forget, we're still trying to raise $3,000 for the Center for Pride Month. Happy Pride. Happy Juneteenth next week. Go get your tickets today for that. And if you have nothing to do this weekend and you're in New York City, or if you're visiting New York City, go see Purpose on Broadway. I promise you, you'll be thanking me for telling you to go see it. It's fantastic. Guys, as always, be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and don't forget you can hear an audio version of our podcast on the Kempire podcast. So subscribe today. I am tired. It's been a long day. I will see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you to our King's Guards. Thank you to our channel members. Thank you to our subscribers and those of you watching in the bushes. Subscribe today. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening as well.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.